It's Channel One Right on New Reel, and I'm setting it up for Margaret Chitty this Friday morning, the 25th of June, 1971. This is Channel One Right on New Reel, and I'm setting it up for Margaret Chitty this Friday morning, the 25th of June, 1971. Channel One Right on New Reel, and I'm setting it up for Margaret Chitty this Friday morning, the 25th of June, 1971. Channel One Right, and I'm setting up for Margaret Chitty this Friday, the 25th of June, 1971. Channel One Right on a new reel, and I'm setting up for Margaret Chitty this Friday morning, the 25th of June, 1971. Channel One Right on a new reel, and I'm setting it up for Margaret Chitty this Friday morning, the 25th of June, 1971.
Maybe I might be able to manage. I've already drank two this morning, which is
Sit down there a minute and let's see if we can't I'll get me a cup here. Goodness. He'll be in here. We'll wait for him just a minute. Well, she acted a little nervous. Yesterday afternoon.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's not because of you folks being there or anything like that, because she's used to crowds. And I think that's one thing, though, that at home, you know, after she retired from her work, she used to work at that, really the only glass place that was around, you know.
You had to make it instant.
Ma'am?
Instant.
Yes. Yeah. And
that right?
Yes, and I think so. And we don't use it too much, but I can usually drink it, you know. I mean, I make enough that Lana don't know the difference sometimes. The coffee runs short, I slip some in, and when he goes in the bathroom somewhere, while the percolator's going, I sneak instant coffee in there. And I couldn't help him laugh, and if I'd have told him what I'd done, it'd have been a dead giveaway. He said, you know, it was really good coffee. I wish you'd buy that all the time. I said, well, that's what I buy all the time. And he doesn't like plain flour biscuits either. Once in a while I'll make biscuits anymore. I'm getting bigger and bigger and don't make any other bread. I made enough biscuits in my married life to circle and tell how many.
Oh, really?
Thank you.
There's the sugar. What's happened to my sugar spoon? I think coffee is better when you make it in the... I mean, this instant did this. When you make it in the book, you know, make it...
It is. It gives it a much better flavor.
When you...
You reckon it'll hold on?
Hello? Yes. Oh. Okay. I didn't know you got another one. Yeah. Well, thank you. And you're still going to come out to the ranch sometime. Oh, we'll make a date. You're sweet to call, and I thank you.
Let's see. Now, where were we?
Oh, he's just coming in.
Mm-hmm. You're talking about the sugar.
Yeah. Oh, talking about the coffee. I find that if you make it in a, with instant stuff, if you make it in a, big thing. It's just better.
It gives it much better flavor anyway.
Well, let me sit down and catch my breath. Good
Laura,
morning.
How are you this morning?
There's a big fence on there, the fence, and the bull on one side, and those little yearling heifers on the other. Oh, and I just caught it. I let him out, and I just caught it. If somebody don't come, I don't ever get to sit down. You all pretty late this morning?
Yeah. I feel like I was about 108. I know I'll never live for that.
Percolating too much, huh?
I tell you, time you spend a day, you know, in town. And
yes, I wondered about that. That's hard work.
I'm not complaining, and I don't complain about it, and I don't think anybody could go to Irene Yon and tell her that I complain, because I'm grateful for having someone that I can go to town with, and although it does, like she said, Margaret, you would have, you've been with me, and we've been together, that, you know, and you'd be sick and just never say anything about it. I said, well, I tried not to complain. I feel like I complain enough anyhow, but I try not to complain, you know, about things, because I'm grateful for having a way to go. She visits her aunt. Well, she's got, I think, about four aunts down there, and we visit and look around, you know, and whatever, and things like that. But
who is Irene Yon? Do I know her?
I don't know. We do not. You know where Willie is, don't you? She's on this side. They live on this side. Well, yeah, before you get to,
I don't know those people.
Willie's place.
Are they old natives there? Are they?
Yes, sir.
You've known her a long time.
I've known her all my life. And
well, who is the Yon who is treasurer in the Sunday school class up at Shiloh?
Well, that's Harvey. That's her brother-in-law. Yes, if it's
she married her brother. Her brother?
She's married to Otis. He's a barber at McIntosh. Otis is. Yeah. He's a barber. And his father, J.W. Yon, lives there in Coast Orange Lake. What, new house? He's lived there about a year.
Now you're going too fast, Harvey. The woman in the Sunday school over there, she just married a Yon. She's not a Yon, is she?
No, sir. She was a Lightner.
Oh, she was a Lightner.
Oh, yeah.
Bernice Lightner.
Yeah.
And her twin brother's married.
Where does she live? Right there close to the church?
They live in the house, the first house after you pass the church on the same side, right hand side. First house. Come towards McIntosh.
Yeah.
After you pass the Methodist Church,
yeah,
Charlotte.
Right, yeah, in the
she's
church
on the
right. Well, now, she's nice. I liked her. I didn't know her. Just saw her son's school. Bernice Lightner.
She's Bernice Lightner. Harvey Yon.
Yeah.
We've known him for, gosh, I don't know, years and years and years. And Harvey and I are about the same age.
I don't know Harvey. Does he go to Sunday school?
Well, that's Bernice's husband. And I thought he was.
Mr.
Miles, you know, older established people in the community, you know, they usually always have a finger in the pie, whether it's a sweet pie or a sour one. And that's the way it goes. And those Lightners and Smiths and Zetrauer and people like that, you know, Lightners especially, they don't always stop with the finger. They put the whole hand in, you know.
Yeah.
So if you know anything about one, you just about know it all about the rest of them as far as it. So I guess Harvey married into a family. Now, his father-in-law was 91, I think, 90 or 91 years old.
Is he the old gray-haired man?
Yes, sir.
It went to church, eh?
Yes. There were three of them. There's two brothers, married sisters. Kind of like I've got it in my...
Three brothers, married sisters.
Mm-hmm. The three brothers, but two of them married sisters. Eh?
Uh-huh.
But Mr. Ben Lightner, now Bernice's father, and Ms. Lily Lightner, right across from them, you might see right across from them, lives next to that brick house.
Uh-huh.
Like you're leaving this side, McIntosh, going to McIntosh, going towards the church. The Grants live in the brick house. This brick. Well, old Mrs. Dilly Lightner, Lawrence's mother, lives on the right, just before you get to the Grant place. Close to Harvey and Bernie's house.
You know, you see, it's hard for anybody like Margaret to Understand anybody doesn't know all the neighbors out there. And isn't that shameful? I went to Sunday school for 7 years out there. And I never did. I never got in the community. I just went to Sunday school and church. And the reason I stopped going, partly was that Cecil got so he would bait me as a professor. And
you mean your favorite neighbor over there?
Yeah,
he
was my favorite. Yeah, he'd get out there.
You sure don't know neighbors.
He'd get to talking, and he'd start baiting me as a upset university, as if I had anything to do with it. That's it. And it got right painful to me. And so I just quit going out there for a while. And, you know, I didn't have anything against him or the others either. Except...
I don't like to be pressured in anything with that, Miss Miles. I don't like to be hoodwinked. I don't want nobody using me.
No.
I'll tell you that right now. I may be a big old fat woman, big old fat ugly woman. Sorry, woman, but don't never pressure me into anything and don't never try to hoodwink me into anything because right there, friendships dissolve just like that.
Uh-huh.
Because I don't deal with people like when I don't want people dealing with me that way. And Cecil Party just happens to be, I sent him word I want to buy some cucumbers from him.
Yeah.
Brought us some people. I don't go for this stuff. I wasn't raised that way, and I can't get into it of people gathering their... Do you ever listen to the radio?
Uh-huh.
Very much? Well, you possibly wouldn't hear this song. Very popular. Very good song. Got a lot of meaning in it. It's kind of you get down to the... As that woman says on the, about beers or something, the nitty-gritty. You get right down into it. Sunday morning Christian?
Yeah.
I haven't attended church lately, so therefore I can't bicker about what Tom and Mary and all the rest of them does, you know. But I just can't go that Sunday Christian, Monday morning, get up and raise all manner of the other kind.
Yeah.
I don't like it. And you can't carry your sins to church Sunday and expect the good Lord to take them away today, and tomorrow you do the same thing, go back Wednesday night, and that's kind of Cecil Party.
He won't send you a good crate of cucumbers?
Well, I asked this old colored man, you know, Jesse Cox.
Yeah.
Excuse me. Frankie works him once in a while at the house, you know, do some things. And of course, he works for Mr. Zetrow, and Jesse does. And we was talking about the cucumbers the other day. And I said, Jesse, do you know anybody's got any cucumbers? Yes, ma'am, Miss Keys. Says, now Cecil Party. You know, we told you that day, you know, you came back there to look at your beautiful place, you know. And Frankie and I was kidding about the... This is before we met you. We met you in a few minutes after. And he said something about your husband. He had just stopped. And he said something about Party. You know, Kelly Party. They call him Kelly. I don't know where he got the nickname from. His name's Cecil, but they got to call him Kelly. I don't know where it was. Somebody
I didn't know that.
Call him Mr. Kelly.
Mr. Kelly. Maybe that's my trouble. I haven't been calling him right. I
hadn't hit the spot with his favorite name, maybe. But anyway, he's talking about how he'd do and what he'd do. Well, actually, you don't know these people like we do.
Yeah.
But anyway, Jesse says, well, Miss Key, I'll tell him that you want... I said, do you know what he charges for him? I said, I just want about a peck to make some cucumber pickle. Yes, ma'am. Says,
They turned that heater off over there.
Yeah.
Says, I'll see him. And he says, I think he charges 30 cents a dozen, Miss Key, for the cucumbers. This was Saturday. Well, I just knew Sunday morning. I said, Cecil be there at the door. And I didn't want him to come then. Now, maybe he goes to church and Sunday school every Sunday. What is he gaining? What is this fellow man gaining when he lives that kind of life? I can't go for it. Now, that's all there's truth to it.
Yeah.
And I don't think you're going to find any of my family that's going to be that way either.
Well, what happened to the cucumbers?
I hadn't seen them yet.
Oh, you hadn't brought them?
He hasn't brought them, but here's what I'm going to tell you now. Maybe I hope God will forgive me if I'm wrong about this. And forgive me if I mention this, I'm right.
I'll tell you a story, too.
He went around last year selling, you know how people sell their fall peas. My daddy gave way. I said he should be heavily and richly rewarded because my father, there's four pecks in the bushel, isn't it?
Yes.
My father gave way three pecks and a half of the last peck, and then he let the rest of the peck, Miss Smith come to the door, send the children, Mr. Chitty, Mama's sick. Daddy's lost his job and he can't pay for them peas he got the other day. That's all right, son. Just tell him, let it go. I'll give them to him. That's the way my daddy did business.
Yeah.
But he was hoodwinked out of a lot of things. And anyway, he'd Cecil, we got those peas from Cecil. We spoke to him. He came around here telling people he had peas. So he says, what kind do you have, Cecil? I don't know. He told me what kind. Brought those peas. He gathered those peas Sunday, and I knew it. That's the reason we didn't like them. They didn't taste good. He gathered them on the Lord's Day. Well, you know things you don't know. You don't know what goes on. This world we're living in, you don't know what people are doing anymore. But old brother say when you can't find out things that's going on, but when I find it out, oh, I'm double angry then. But anyway, he brought those peas around Monday morning. He got the house before 7 o'clock. Said, I think, blue, 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 blue. I'm getting about time to get to the store. I forget how much he charged for peas. The thing's biggest farm was dry.
He charged $3 a crate, your mama said yesterday morning.
That's right. Mom said that's right. And the biggest part of them dried up on us. We had to use them. We were dry, getting those peas to can, you know. We don't have a freezer. And it's just awful the way people do it. So I don't know what he may have. I haven't seen him study, but I tell him to his face. I don't like this backbiting stuff.
Yeah.
God gave us a faith to put forward regardless of how bad it looks. As my brother Monroe said, Margaret, he looks bad, we'll throw that face up on the wall and shoot at it, you know. And I live by confidence like that. Being told I'm somebody's mama, you know.
That's what
big fat people
do. You know,
do.
Yesterday morning, it was the cutest thing you ever saw. I don't know how it come up. We were looking for vegetables, and I think I said, well, I'll go on up the road, maybe. Mr. Pardee, some of them got some. And your mama picked it up. Cecil Pardee. Pardee, whatever she called him.
Mm. She gone Cecil, man.
She said, I just don't know what's happening to people. Cecil Pardee and little Jake Lightner. Why, she says you buy a crate and Aunt Ruth, and she was just picking it up. The gate was down, like you said. And Aunt Rosa.
I didn't know that she said it. I mean, I didn't know about this.
Well, she didn't. And that's all she, as far as she got. Aunt Rosa apparently don't listen as well as...
What did Aunt Rosa say?
She started telling her to drink a coffee.
Oh, she's probably shifter. You know, said, well, you shouldn't talk that way to people like that.
Oh, is that right?
I said, that's probably what she said. Yeah. She had, I was telling Ms. Miles this morning that she had kind of a nervous spell last night. Aunt Rosalie did. She's been under pressure so long and so much, you know,
well,
and it's just the two of them, you know. What I mean, she just had a cry. She just broke down and went to crying. She just gripped her hand. She's worrying about Mama, I know, one thing, you know, and her children and things like that. And she has a home in Jacksonville, and she has it rented out to, above all, Negroes. And she's one, she don't want you to say this or that. I don't care what it is. It may hurt. They say the truth hurts. Let it hurt. But those Negroes, she's afraid. My daughters, you saw her yearbook.
Yeah.
How the Negroes are in there and how they're doing. She's working over there, those Negroes. I don't mind. I believe in treating everybody right.
Yeah.
But when they take advantage of you, I don't like it.
So Aunt Rosa's got her house there to the Negroes.
Oh, that's right. See, they got so bad. You know how the Negroes have come in?
Yeah, they're moving.
They just buying a property, buying this. This has been her home all these years. We always, people, we forget she lives in Callahan now with her daughters. And we say Jacksonville.
Tell you, does she listen to your mama?
Yes, to a certain
extent. When mama gets
started?
Huh?
She does to a certain extent.
As much as you do?
I listen more.
You get used to it. You listen to it.
Well, I feel like that this thing sometimes she says or does, you know, that maybe that I don't approve of. Not that she says anything wrong or bad or anything like that, but I mean, like the other day, Mrs. Detrick came down to peas. Mama's been sick for several months. She hadn't been feeling good.
Yeah.
And just kept herself going, and we try to keep doing everything. I can't do everything. I try to do everything that I can. But as I told your wife this morning.
Faye.
Well, I know I happen to be the older of the two, and I've always been taught to respect your elders, you know, and I feel like that maybe you people are respecting me, you know, too much. But anyway, I told her that I hadn't washed. See, I usually wash Monday, Wednesday, and Friday a lot of times. I broke myself from a lot of that. Mama's not able to do anything like that, and I feel like when Aunt Rosalie's there, she can do in the house. That's why Frankie told Monroe and Audrey, my brother and sister-in-law, lives in a little greenhouse, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know she don't come around, Mom? She hadn't come to the house. Come in one. Audrey Monroe's my youngest. You've met Monroe.
Yeah. No.
He's my youngest brother.
I just met him.
And out of the day, I said, Monroe, I said, I'm not going to beat around the bush, but I said, I don't like that kind of stuff. But I said, I don't think Audrey's done Mama right. I said, she's got no reason. I believe you like Aunt Rosalie. You drink your coffee cold. You drink it anywhere, huh? Is that it?
I like it hot at mealtime, and then...
In between meals.
Yeah, then when it gets cold, it's got another taste to it.
Aunt Rosalie, same way. She'll go in there and pick up the coffee pot, you know, and she's got instant coffee in one of the pots. And Mama's got electric percolator, and she puts her coffee. And Aunt Rosalie used to like Louisiana coffee.
Yeah.
She likes Louisiana tea, and I tried to get her some the other day. She wanted me to get some things for her. And you know they didn't know what Louisiana tea was in any store?
Oh, really?
She says, well, I say I'm going to have to go to Jacksonville now and get a jar of tea and bring it out. I said, don't worry, I got one you brought down last year. I'm going to take it down. I forgot it yesterday. Think I won't do it. I'll take it in there, and they'll probably say, ma'am, you want to pay for that? I said, pay for what? I always did like to do the impossible, you know, and I've never reached that goal yet, but I'm going to reach it one day.
Jake.
That's right, we haven't talked about Jake.
Can you buy anything from Jake?
Well, you're
destroying them. And look at you with a straight face.
I know. And you think people are kidding you, trying to tell you about it. I don't believe you yet believe that we say what we said about Mr. Cecil is true.
Sure.
At least you agree with us, Ms. Miles.
Oh, I've run into some of your neighbors.
I mean, you have.
Oh,
but,
don't tell me.
Now,
Frank and I had a run around yesterday morning. And your mama heard it.
Well, y'all have a run around.
And Aunt Rosa thought we was going to have words out there.
Oh.
But,
I believe you about like day was Sunday.
It was just between him and me. About hay.
Well, I'll tell you, Mr. Miles, you know Frankie's taken for granted more than any one brother out of the four. They take it. Frankie never, you never hear him speak harshly about anybody. I don't either unless I have reason to do it. But the boys, the rest of them, you know, they take advantage of Frankie because they figure they can.
Yeah.
But then when he speaks out, they say he gets mad. Well, now, you know, people, there's a limit to the capacity to anybody.
I was the one who was speaking out. I was just baiting him.
Oh, you were doing some of... Oh, see, now, Brother Cecil at the church, Brother Miles, he was baiting, too.
Yeah. I baited Frankie. He's buying, he said, it's cheaper to buy it than what's to raise it. And he said, this fellow over there told him just to let him know. And he'd bring hay over there and put it in his barn for a dollar bill. I said, all right, Frankie. But you be sure you look at that hay before he puts in the bale. He says he's honest. Well, I said, ain't nobody honest. It's got hay to sell. You know, how they go. Now, I've worked with all them fellas around there in hay, and I know how they do it. And they'll have a bunch of straw and talk to you like it's just fresh protein. And I don't know. I'll tell you what I told Frankie, you see. I was baiting him.
We had
a big time.
Oh, it was so cute.
Because his boss man, you see, is a hay man, too. And GP's one of the big hay men. Well, I wouldn't trust, I don't know Mr. Zetron, but I wouldn't trust GP. Looking at him. Around this corner, I wouldn't trust him looking at him.
But he's a nice
fella.
You never know who you're dealing with. There's always going to be a slip one way or the other with somebody. Now, I don't know who he's talking about, but Frankie has and his feed doing. Now, he's bought from Mr. Mixon quite a few times and found the feed to be good. But now, I don't know who y'all were talking about.
Miles Mixon. What do they call him? Hay Mixon?
Hay Mixon?
No, that wasn't it. They had a...
Not Miles, is it? I don't know about Miles.
Well, anyhow, it's
Old
Williston.
There is a Mixon. He's called Crop Mixon.
Crop Mixon.
And I know that there's been countless times that he's bought feed over there. Now, I don't know who you're talking about.
I
don't know what you're talking about. Hey, them Mixons around there, you can't ever tell them around home. You never know what you're getting these there. They're out for the dollar.
Yeah.
You know, well, most people are. But who wants to buy? Now, I know this deal, too, because Frankie was sick here. Well, we all had flu. I had this second time last year. And someone had to Frankie asked the boys, Mumra's boys, they'd come down there. And it was cold, you know, Mom and Frankie both. I was carrying medicine to one room for Mama, the other room for Frankie, you know, working from my house to theirs, backwards and forth. And Betty Ann was sick, and Lane was sick. I had to carry him to the doctor, of course, one thing. Well, Frankie asked him to, have I come down there, you know, taking the pickup, carrying hay out, rather than me use the wagon to carry it up to the field, you know. They didn't have time. They came one time. They didn't ask. They didn't come back and say, Grandma, Frankie, can we do anything for you? Could I carry the hay out again? So, I'm telling you, I don't beg anybody to do anything for me.
I don't think anybody does anymore. I think everybody's on his own. You know, I just go in mortal fear in the wintertime, spraining my back where I can't lift a bale of hay or a feed bag, you know, and take care of these animals. I see in the summer they'll go a week or two without any attention much.
Well, getting the grass, that.
Yes, because if I sprain my back, I got Faye's only one.
That's right, and she's little,
and
so
she
couldn't lift.
She won't.
She
eat.
Might, but you
she
know they
like
say that there's a dynamite in small packages.
Yeah, well, she can do a lot, but she can't lift.
That's right, she's not able to lift. See, you know that hay can get heavy, even a big person like me.
Yeah. Well, now, Frankie knows a lot. I just listen to him, and I listen to him. I listen to him to hear.
You set traps so he'll fall in. Is that it?
No.
No.
He's talking about trap with
no,
bait, just, bait. That's right.
I just baited him on
they
the
bait. They out there just lying.
We just telling lies, like your mama said. Faye said she looked out the window. You know, she wanted to hear what we were saying. She says they just out there telling big lies.
They were laughing.
Who is this, Lucy? She's the one who lost her husband.
Lucy O'Gladney?
Yes. Where does she live?
Well, do you frequent the road by the Methodist Church in Shiloh very often?
Yeah.
If you come from the Akow way, you know, you turn the four roads,
yeah,
and right straight on by, and it's the first road you come to the left, coming towards McIntosh, on this road where the church is, on the paved road, but you turn to the right, to the left, I mean. And she lives back in there, I mind about a mile.
You mean from your house you go up to the church and turn to McIntosh?
The Methodist Church, Shiloh.
Yeah.
You know, where you come, like you come from our house and turn back to the church.
Yeah.
Not our church, but the Shiloh church.
I understand.
And it's the first road after you pass the lighthouse. You know where the brick house is on the left?
Yeah.
You come on by the elderly lady Lightner's house,
yeah.
Grandma Lightner called. And it's the first house, first road on the left.
Oh.
And you turn in there, and it winds around, and you get back in there. You go by the big old two-story house. And
it's not on that road. It's off the road.
Yes,
ma'am.
Mm-hmm. And they used to be, well, still are, for that matter, I reckon, dealing quite a bit of hay and cattle, too, I guess. I don't know. I don't know too much. I've known her. She and her husband married just a year almost before we did.
How long have you been there?
We've been there about 9 years. I don't know, about 8 years, something like that.
Well,
she's one of the workers at the schoolhouse. The
reason I asked you, Everett, I heard him talking about it, and it's very hard for me to, you know, pin him down. I said, he's talking about Lucy Gladney, that she had some hay.
Mm-hmm.
I just asked him where he's going to start making hay, and he mentioned her, and I didn't know Lucy Gladney. So she's off the road. Did she go to that Shiloh church?
Yeah.
Oh, Faye, this helps me greatly. I tell you what, by the middle of the morning, thing gets active around here. I feel like I've already had a day this time of year.
Well, don't you folks have a home in Gainesville?
Yeah.
I just wondered if you were Did you stay out here? Just think of having a townhouse and a country house,
no, no.
Too.
No, it wasn't that. we came out here, and we'd living in town, and then we got this place. And Faye was going to get a little studio there where she'd go in and work, you know. And she couldn't. Nobody had any house big enough for her to go, and she started inquiring about some of the business houses, and it was fantastic what prices they wanted. And so we just kept that little house in town there, and we live in it sometimes, but mostly Faye works there. And that was way yonder cheaper than to rent a one little old room somewhere.
And we got somebody staying in it.
But you originally can't. You, this is the place that you came to when you came to Tennessee?
No, we've lived several places. Rented. I bought a little place up at Latra where I did the first farming. And I didn't know anything about the land. And it turned out to be that sandy land up there that blew away in March when you come there.
Well, it's all of that.
And I was down in here. I knew the Richards. I knew Flora. And I knew the Van Arnhams. And I used to go to the Ruby's restaurant over there at lunch to eat. They had that little neighborhood lunch over there then. They quit that now. It's too much trouble. They don't have the help for it. And that's where I got acquainted. About all I know about this neighborhood is what I learned over there. And that's where I learned at this place that Miss Boyle was going to sell it. And the rest of them around here were just going to stand by and wait for her to reduce the price. And I told Robert Smith to come over and buy it. Mm-hmm. I didn't have the money, but I could get it, you see. And he come over here and put a binder on it. And that was the end of it. And
who's Robert Smith?
He's a real estate man over there in Meganopi. Right there on the road, the candy shop.
I didn't know these places around here. People come up, you know, and they say, I didn't know for a long time they even had a candy shop up there.
Yeah.
To me, Meganopi is one of the most trashy places that was ever, and it's one of the oldest places.
Has it always been trashy?
Mr. Miles, it's dignified. It's a deluxe place compared to what it was. And I lived in Carolina Hotel back in 37. Lame and I moved into the hotel, stayed in there for a while. And you talk about there were never, it was very, very few couples married.
They just lived together.
That's right, just lived together. And when my husband came in and told me that we were going to have to move to Meganopi, I purely cried about it because I didn't want people to point a finger. You know, Margaret's living in Meganopi. What? Yeah, you know she's living there. My goodness, lie. And I even almost, people ask me where I live.
Yeah.
And it just hurt me so bad that I had to move in there. And what, above all, I had to move right across the street. It was called Buzzard Street.
Yeah.
Buzzard Street. Since then, they've torn the old hotel down and built several nice homes. You know where Buck Weaver runs the store?
Yes. Maybe store.
That's right. He doesn't know all these things.
Well,
store, I bought a grocery in that store.
Yeah. Well, you see, that's my headquarters. It was for a long time my headquarters. Now, Buck Weavers and Buster's and Mac Weavers. I never had much dealing with Mr. Thrasher. He's so.
Oh.
He don't.
Say the word.
Huh?
I say the word. I don't know what you mean by that, but I do know that he's high and he's kind of an individual.
He don't have much to say. And you can go in there and talk to Mr. Weaver, you know. He may not tell you much, but...
Miles, I'm sorry. Did you have any trouble getting him to say yes, Ms. Miles, a long time ago? That's what I tell people. That's what I tell people about Layman. If you notice, he never... Now, people said, Mark, you don't give him a chance to talk. I said, good God, he's got all the chance in the world. Because I'm telling you, if I can strike up... I can make friends...
And they everywhere. Talk. They do the talking.
Well, a lot of times, I always get my foot in the door, you know. They talk, and I talk too.
Well, who run that old hotel when you all went there?
Oh, a couple by the name of Sowell.
Oh.
And we moved in there, ma'am.
Nothing. I was hadn't heard the name.
And they didn't belong there. They just fly by night, sir.
Well, and those people seem to be people that they wanted to be inhabitants of the little place ever since I could remember. There's been Mountains and Prestons and Franklins and Thrashers and Weavers and, oh, I don't know who all, Barons and, you know, different people around up there. Some people that I'd heard of. One thing, I just told him early in the week that I'd thought about, I don't know what this brought this up, but anyway, long years ago, you know, when they drove the Model T's, we went up there one Saturday to buy groceries. This has been, oh, years and years, years and years and years. And when they mentioned going to make it up, I didn't want to go as a child, but I had to go. This is before our house burned. I had to go because it wouldn't meet me by myself. I went with them, and we saw a family man, his wife, and little boy drive up there, an old Model T truck. And they didn't turn the thing off to get the gas, and the thing caught fire. And the man burned himself almost to death. And ever since, I've had a horror of that place.
Where was that?
McAnopy.
Oh, yeah.
And then after the years, I grew older, you know, and learned and heard about a lot of this talk. It wasn't talk, it was actual. But they finally made them marry, a lot of them up there. Brought it out to kind of a more dignified town, you know.
Oh, really? Sort of frontier town.
And, well, I was talking about it, but yet this old lady lived across the street. She didn't like my cat. Mama given Layman a cat.
Back then?
Yes, sir. When we first married, we moved our kitty out with us to the house, well, out where we moved when we worked the sawmill. And so we moved in town. I mentioned about the cat. Mr. Sowell and his wife, you know, agreed, well, all I had to do was see if the cat was downstairs, you know, or didn't want to keep him upstairs, you know, and backers and forth, and the cat learned to climb up, you know, and I'd put him in the house, and when need be, I carried him out and let him out, you know, and had to come up the stairs, you know, he'd meow, and I'd go and let him in. So one day, an old lady, and I use the word old casual, like, Gordon, Layman had boarded with these people, but he didn't know that they were not married, you see. He was boarding with them when he and I married. And my kitty had gone over to her house. She hollered out something about long then. This has been back in 37, so it's been quite a time. So she hollered at him and said, Margaret says there's cats over here, and I want you to get the so-and-so thing back. If you don't, I'm going to kill him. I was upstairs. I walked out on the porch, being me a woman, a few words. I said, you'd better not kill my kitty. You won't hear from me. And my sister-in-law, his two sets of keys lived in the house, and it's upstairs, room. She says, I said, Margaret, tell her about it. Tell her about it. The more she'd tell me, you know, I was just firing at her. Didn't say anything out of the way or anything like that. But then when I got through talking, I knew that I didn't say anything out of the way. My father never heard me say any ugly words in the Dickens or doggone or something like that. He said, now, Doc, don't you know that's ugly? Don't you ever say anything like that? And if he had known, he did learn about it. But I knew better to say something that I have to regret afterwards. All hate those, I knew I was talking to an older woman, you know, than me. And that's what made me feel bad. I just had a big cry about it afterwards. My sister-in-law, she comes here and says, now, Margaret, you have not said anything. You've just defended taking care of your cat. She told me she's going to kill it, you know. I didn't. Well, Bill didn't know to not go over to Miss Gordon's, you know. He knew to stay at home, but he went over there. She didn't have any cats, didn't have any dogs. But we got in, she came to the house sometime to buy some syrup, and we talked about it. She said, well, you had every right. As if you'd been like a lot of women, you could come over there and fram me over the head.
Or was that Captain Gordon?
That's right. His wife, Edna. And they were good couple. He died before she did, I think.
Yeah.
And I always liked him, and we got along pretty good after that. Never had that one run-in, so I ever had wherever lived.
Now, he was a cattleman.
Cattle? Mr. Gordon was a cattleman? I never did know the man did. What did the man do when I knew him? I know they worked, I thought they worked at the mill. Not with my husband, but I thought he worked at some. Actually, I don't remember. So
he's the one they call the cattle dip. But they called him.
Well, when he's not teaching, do you really know where he, what he's finding out?
I've got to listen,
haven't I? You sure have. You can retire a record and write your book on everything.
Well, you know, talking about the people. I just talk about, I don't know him, you see, personally, but I've heard Mr. Weaver talk about him.
Uh-huh.
And I kept after Mr. Weaver to tell me about the old trading in those days, you know, trading. And one day he let in on Captain Gordon, the cattle jeff, he called him. Now, he liked him.
Yeah, he was a likable man.
But he...
Wasn't near as fiery as his wife was.
Huh?
He wasn't near as fiery as his wife was. He was always telling, picking at Layman and me, you know, and he'd tell Layman, he said, you know, it's a shame I was too old or Margaret's too young, said, because if I'd have found her before you did, said, I'd have married her first. He's always talking back to me. I said, Layman says, well, says, you just happened to got lost out.
Yeah.
She,
but he was a right... nice spoken fella.
Well, most everybody that I knew anything about them, like I said, I just knew they lived across the street and Lane boarded with them before we married. Sometime before we did.
Oh, he did. Well, he'd know about him.
Well, I don't know. He may know what he did. I don't know. But
sure,
I know he
did.
I tell you, back in those days, Lane even picked up pecans. Now, Mickey Nova's got quite a few, or did have quite a few pecans,
yeah.
Trees, and so. Long then Lane pick up several buckets of pecans and carry them up to May's store. And this is before we married, too. But we were dating, you know, and anticipated a great marriage. He tried to get me to leave school in October before May, you know, before we married. I said, nope. I felt like I owed that much to my parents. Go ahead. His mama said, love bug bit me, and I couldn't finish school, you know. I didn't finish. I didn't go any farther than 8. And I was to take a subject up, which is one that's close to home, English, you know. And I told the principal, I said, Mr. Beck, he says, well, Margaret, all you'll have to do is just come back and, you know, take it. And I thought that would be terrible for me to join a class, you know, a little under me, you know, to take up that English.
Yeah.
And I want to know what he felt, how he felt about it. And I knew what I was going to do. I knew I was getting married. So he said, well, all you'll have to do is just step back in. I said, yes, sir. Well, thank you, Mr. Beck. I said, I'm not coming back to school anyway. He said, you're not? I said, no, sir, I'm getting married. Which it made him, you know, I imagine he probably aged overnight, me telling him that. But I knew good well I wasn't going back to school. If I told him, well, I'm not coming back to school, he thought, you know, that one thing that could have kept me from,
Well, now school. Look, Margaret, you want your child to keep going to school and all like that, but
quite a difference, yes.
Eighth grade is pretty good, you know.
It is.
If they had anything to do, what's the use of just keeping on strapping away in the school?
I wish that I could have finished school, but as I didn't.
Now, does Layman live in, where is he from?
Georgia. He's a native Georgian.
He's working down here.
Yes, he came down, and I never had had too much, I never known too much about salt. Now, not that they're degrading people no more than anyone else. Because some of the most dignified one for the people working with the lumber and, you know, things like that.
But they're pretty rough.
They do. That's what I had heard, even though I wasn't very old at that time. And I was visiting over in Perry, Florida, about 100 miles from home.
Oh.
Visiting Mama's only brother. I said there's just the three of them.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, he's been dead about seven, eight years now. And I was visiting them, stayed... Oh, nearly a month though they with them. And lady, that at this time there's an old house, two-story house, almost, I think it's built just a little while after the house that we had that was burned, you know. And these sawmill people had gotten this place. They were renting rooms, boarding rather, with his Williams family. And the Williams had granddaughters and grandsons and daughters-in-law living over in Perry. And this couple lived next door to my aunt and Uncle Ed and Aunt Lizzie Dixon. And so the preacher's daughter lived across. We attended a revival together, and then we went to another Holy Roller. I'd never been to one. And that's the only time I went, too. They had their fun out of me. My mother years ago would tell me, I can follow what Mama tells me, you know. The things she tell me about how she used to go to these old camp meetings, these church things, you know, and if people get in a trance and they slip all the way down on the floor, had a rather hypnotic manner about getting in and out of the church. And of course she said it, and I know it, whatever happened, she saw it happen. But anyway, they told me, said, Margaret's got a good revival going over there. I said, let's go there. I was visiting over there. So the preacher's daughter, and then, oh, there's about six or eight of us girls and women went over there. There's one woman in the family, my dad. We walked over there, his church, and the singing started out. They didn't even have electric lights in the church. Lamps on either side. And they started out singing was fine, you know. And all of a sudden, when the singing got through, he taking his text, you know, started preaching. Next thing, and Mama had told him, said, they say if you take your eyes off of them, they'll hypnotize you. And I had grew up, you know, learning that as a child. It stayed with me, you know. And I was about, 15, 16 at the time. So, very, very noticed me. I kept my eyes on them. All of a sudden, the lights went out, and they began to roll on the floor. And these others had seen this stuff before, and I hadn't. When you talk about somebody having a laughing good time, they had it off of Margaret. And when we punched one of them, there's about six of us on the bench. Says, you ready to go, Margaret? I said, yes, I am. I didn't even take my eyes. I said, let's get out of here. I didn't know what was going to happen. They said the preacher and the... I don't know. They said they didn't have... They say nowadays they don't have Church of God and... the whole row and Church of God the same. They're different, aren't they?
Yeah.
I hope I'm not treading...
No, we're not members of either.
But, you know, sometimes people say things and not mean to be rude about it. I'm not mean.
You was there. And then your mama's been to those same things.
Up in Georgia when she was a young girl.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But they were Methodists up there and later came to Florida. And she became a Baptist, Missionary Baptist. And that's what we all are. Except Lame's a Methodist. Saved. And Betty Ann's never made the decision yet. It's about to kill every one of them at the church and about to run her crazy about it. She's not ready to accept. And until she is... It's the greatest decision one can make in one's life, and there's no use in making a... If she don't feel like this much, we can't point a guilty finger at someone else and say, well, they're doing so-and-so if we don't know what's going on.
Yeah.
False accusation can get people in trouble. It's not that, but the idea of it is, when you go to church, the church is a sacred place. It's the house of the Lord. It should be... The Bible tells us to assemble ourselves in the house of the Lord. We're not supposed to go there and talk and write and everything,
right.
And it's... members that gets up and witnesses,
yeah,
calls themselves Christians, does things they shouldn't do, and I don't like that kind of stuff. And Betty Ann sees how they're going, and she says, Mama, and she's not doing that with herself, but
she can
says,
see that.
And she don't like it, and she says, and the preacher's just about to kill him. He's a young man, and he's been to the house, and he's talked to us. He says, Mrs. Key and Brother Key, I feel like that you and Mr. Key, you and your wife, maybe have some influence over Betty Ann. I said, Brother Hicks, let's get this straight now. We have not told Betty Ann that she can't accept the Lord, she can't join the church and things like that. We've not told her to go ahead and do it because I said, as anybody knows, it's the greatest decision a person can make in their life.
Yeah.
I joined the church when I was 12.
Yeah.
Right after my birthday, I was...
Well, now, does all that going on, does that bother the little preacher?
Well, he feels like he hasn't done his duty, you know. And he mentioned here a while back that he was going to quit. But he said the Lord had told him to stay on and preach right on. I don't know where he figures it. You know, everybody, you know, Brother Hicks, please go on. And this one, that one. Betty Ann is actually the only young person that goes to church out there. That's not a member yet.
Yeah.
And it's just about to kill some of them because she won't go ahead, you know, and join.
Yeah.
But I told her, I said, Betty Ann, are you ready? I said, don't go and make no decision on something like that until you're ready to do it. And everybody comes in, now, Margaret, what if she was to get killed on the way to school? Or what if she was going somewhere and something happened to her? Wouldn't you feel bad that she never accepted the Lord? I said, we wouldn't.
Let me tell you that, Margaret, down the back. Tell me about Everett. Now, he just remember your family there for a long time, wasn't he?
Yes, sir. You know, I feel like I'm on Bennett. You know, you've read that and seen that on television. This is your life.
Yeah.
I feel like Mr. Miles is putting me through this.
No.
Maybe about Everett. And I hit,
No, I just listen to what you're saying.
Everett's already, I've never seen anybody like Everett.
No, I never either.
Now, I don't know how you mean that.
Well, you know, he talks, he seems, you know, we don't know him
very
much. He just He just seems always ready.
All we know, all I know is what to see. You know, he's
well, he was for a long time. We really would. It don't make a difference. You can tell him this. It's like I tell his neighbor the other day. I said, now what I'm saying, if you want to, you can go tell this person that. I don't care what you say, because we know it's the truth. Everett we've treated him better than, you know, than a lot of people would. But yet these people go to him and tell him things that's been said, you know, about the family. He kind of had a little run-in with Francis. Francis might have told you that. He might have told you. I don't care. It don't make a difference to me.
They were shaking hands or something. Or not shaking hands at the church door. Frankie told me about that, but I've forgotten it.
Well, he didn't.
Over some squash. Was that way back yonder?
Yes, he wanted Frankie to do some work. He didn't tell Frankie that he was doing it for Ernest. See, they're twins, Ernest and Everett are twins. And Ernest was down that he was sick. And Frankie would have glad that Frankie do anything for anybody he thinks they'd appreciate it, and that he can help anybody. And we all are for that matter.
Yeah.
And money's no object. I mean, as far as if you're doing something that you want to do for somebody, you feel like they appreciate it, that's it. But Everett, he came to Frankie. He didn't say Ernest is down sick. Would he do the work for him? Frankie would have gladly done the work, and there'd never been nothing said about it. Everett came and got Frankie to do the work, and Everett was going somewhere else doing what he was making his money. Come time for the payday, Frankie waited, you know, and he never did pay him, and so he asked him about it, and he said that he wasn't going to pay him, that he ought to have done it for nothing. So he kind of got rough with Frankie about it, because all these things had gone on for years. You know, you get habits. It's a good thing sometimes, but it's bad.
Yeah.
And he just come in the house. He got the coffee. Margaret, you got in a Joe going? He called a coffee. And if it was black, you know, and he said, Mom would make the coffee just like he wanted. And possibly went somewhere else and said, you make coffee just like Miss Chizzy's. It's too strong. Miss Chizzy's like pond water, something like that, you know, maybe. A Mama don't make pond water coffee. She said she, you know, likes to see the coffee, but she don't see the bottom of the cup when she drinks it. And float iron wedge or something. I know she used to tell that. And Ms. Yon, the mother to this Harvey and Otis, them said that her daddy used to tell her the coffee wasn't just right. Call her by her name. Says, how about bringing me a grain of coffee to smell while I drink this hot water? And she did. That's the way he wanted his coffee strong. Well, Everett liked it strong, too. And he'd come in and make any difference. They'd go off, maybe him and Frankie years ago go off together, and they'd come back. Maybe they'd been to see the girls, or maybe they'd just been off to a movie with them. He'd pop his hands, come in the house, you know. He did this. For years and years and years, he was just one of the family. This little thing came up about this, and friction became and was in between the two for a long time. Well, Everett was telling his side up like he wanted to, and I guess people, you probably say, now Margaret, Frankie's telling his side like he wanted to. Everett was trying to get the sympathy and the pity from other people about something that really didn't happen. Because I know good and well, Frankie takes a lot. Not too many people to deal with what he don't take. He kind of, you know, like an ant, you know, the elephants, you know, stepping down, and he's under that foot. I told my aunt the other day, I said, you know, this old stuff of people taking, and my mother, I know you've heard this expression, it'll all come out in the wash. So my mother, I said, Mama, I said, I have heard that. I said, I mean no harm. I said, I've heard, well, I just forget about it. Or maybe tomorrow I'll bring a different outlook on life. Or why, you know, I just wouldn't think of it that way. It all come out. Watch, I'm had it up to here.
You've heard even that enough. Yeah. You mean Frankie is willing to do that?
Well, as you know, Mr. Miles, yourself talking to him.
Yeah.
That there's a lot of things. Don't you know good and well, 9 out of 10 people, when they can, a lot of people just say, well, now, I'm not going to listen to no such talk as that about anything. There's been a many a time that I've listened to people say things about my family and say things, and I've gone because I was raised that way to keep my mouth shut and hurt my poor mother and father. My father was hurt sinfully in that church. Old man Downsley, have you ever heard of him? Have you ever seen him?
No.
Well,
old
I know you've
man
heard.
Who?
Downsley.
I've even heard the name.
Well, you mean say you haven't heard of Mr. Downsley? Ari Downsley. Well, anyway, he was kind of one of the main ones he thought in the church.
You know, I told you I didn't know the community.
That's right. You don't know the people down that way.
I just went to Sunday school.
Well, this is at Shiloh.
Yes.
Well, these people live out at Flemington. I didn't know what you know, traveling around, if you'd heard, some of the people out of the way.
Well, I'm clear. That's clear out of my beat.
Out of your territory. You're not working in that part yet.
No, I'd been to the store there. I met this boy's mother, father, at least Mr. Johnson. I had talked to him a time or two, but he was out of my beat. Mm-hmm. Now, Mr. Dancer was at Fleming.
He lives close to the church. But he's the kind of man that he thought everybody ought to just, and they did, just, knuckle down. You know, when you a pattern set before you most of the time, you come from your falling.
Yeah.
If it's especially if it's something, pertaining to your parents or anything, and I've gone to the store and heard people, being saying, well, now not that my daddy was a milk or toast man. And like I said, he just liked peace and happiness. He didn't want any friction, any trouble among people.
Yeah.
And this old man Smoke, Hair Smoke, lives right across from the store now. It's an old smoke place. He would, my daddy had pond joining the Flemington pond at that time. Well, he had the interest in Flemington pond too. But Mr. Smoke would always, he'd get a gang, they'd go down, they'd want to mess the fish, they didn't fish for them, they'd go sing the place. They'd pick out the big fish, and they'd call my daddy on the old-fashioned telephone to come get your fish, and daddy'd pick up the little fingerlings and the little things, that were not of an edible size. Daddy didn't say anything, but you think Mr. Smoke would have put it? No. He's another one. He believed in the golden rule, but it was reversed. And I don't like that kind of people either.
No.
I don't want to miss... I'm not going to miss... treat you folks... because people said, well, now, there's the Miles. I'll just use the Miles because that's who you are. There's the Miles people, some people, you can do just as you please.
Yeah.
They won't say nothing. It's all right. Just let them go. Just go ahead and do them that way. I don't like that kind of thing.
Yeah.
I like to be taken.
I don't know. I got sort of used to that.
Being taken.
Almost everybody I've ever dealt with has taken me.
That's
the
truth.
I don't like
now,
that.
No, it's not personal, you understand? And I don't hold any, I fair game. But I may not look like your daddy. You see, I just went into it just without asking too many questions. And I was reading.
Oh, you ought to hear my family.
Small print.
Okay.
And they
I imagine you both have been, and I don't like anything like that. I don't like... people to anybody I know. If I heard someone say something evil or something I knew was not true about you two people, don't think I wouldn't speak up about it, because I don't like things like that. Because we were not raised that way. We would always give rather than take.
I don't know. I've got to the point where I just don't take it personal anymore.
Well, it's not
the best way.
It is. It's the best way.
I just hope I don't hear what to say.
I don't, Mr. Miles, though, it's wrong, because that's the reason a lot of that war is going on. Look at the many boys killed over there.
Now, when you tell me these things, Margaret, I don't care about the personal element, but old man Smoke, he lives across from the store, so if next time you speak of him, I won't know who you're talking about.
Yeah.
Now, he was your daddy's age.
Well, this man is living now. He was a son to the man. He's been gone ever since.
And Dancer was about your father's age.
Yeah.
Well, he's mama's age.
Yeah.
My father would be over 100 if he was living. This man is 79 or...
Yeah.
Well, mama's going on 80. He's already 80.
I've heard Willie talk about several of the people in there.
See, Mr. Dancer was his uncle by marriage. His wife's...
I see Willie so seldom, I forget from one time to another who he's talked about.
I haven't seen Willie and myself, and he's my brother. I haven't seen him.
And where he goes and what he does all the time, it's none of my business, but I just sometimes...
None of mine either. I don't see him. Sybil's about the house of the evening. She's come down more lately than she used to. She don't come back too much. His wife, But I haven't seen Willie talk to him. They tell me he was down at the house yesterday. I think they told me while I was flying backwards and forth, someone said Willie came, brought some corn or something.
Something I was going to ask you about Everett. Yes.
That's right. We didn't talk about Everett.
Yes,
did we?
Yes.
Well, let's go back.
But that's what I mean. But he and Frankie grew up together.
Well, yes, so you might say that. the family, you know, has the Smith family. Now, he had a, always thought a lot of Mr. Smith, Miss Smith too, for that matter. But Mr. Smith was a much easier going. He was a lot like my daddy. He'd go, but Miss Smith, now, something she, I know one time I went to get some peas, can. This has been, oh gosh, I reckon 23 or 4 years.
Yeah.
No, about 22 years, because it's been, daddy died, and he's been dead 24. Martin's wife, and we, I went up there one day, and had Rocky, a little boy at that time, with us. And Mr. Smith and Miss Smith were there, and they knew that we were coming to get the peas, and she says, now, Eddie, says, while the ladies are going down to pea field, says, just go on down there and get your peas while you're down there. Maybe he'd already picked some peas, you know, and she wanted to pick some peas for somebody else. But she didn't bother to go out too much and do anything like that, you know, get the peas or anything that was to be had. You see, Eddie was supposed to do it. Yes, Annie, I'll go do it. But Everett, now, he is an accommodating person. But you never know, he exaggerates his doing. Now, he could say he brought some potatoes to the house not long ago. Well, don't you two agree the truth is the truth? It's making a difference. You know the truth is saying about the truth hurts. Sometimes we have to take, you know, quite a few pains to get over this thing. But if I'm going to give you something, I want it to be good. And I'm not going to say, well, you know, I gave them my so-and-so. I gave them so-and-so and so-and-so.
And they're glad to get it. He had that.
Well, he says that he's telling around that he brought us a bushel of Irish potatoes, you know, and he said he was going to give them on an order in bushel. Well, good God, a bushel of potatoes, my goodness, life. I look like I'd consume pounds and pounds of rice and potatoes. I bought 15 pounds of potatoes since last November. We don't eat potatoes much. We was grateful for the potatoes, but the biggest part of them were rotten. You know, we got about 2 messes out of them.
I know what you mean.
And he said, give Monroe and them part of them, and we gave Monroe and them part. We picked them out and gave them the better part of the potatoes. So if Everett happened to see him, he said, the stooge down there give you, old Key give you any potatoes? Yes, he did. One of them nice ones, though. He picked out 2 and gave them to Mama, 2 right nice size ones, you know.
I know it.
But you know, the potatoes nice like anything else. Spring of the year, if you don't have a place to keep the potatoes, they will mold and rot and get all worked up. So that's what happened a lot of that. We put them in a dishpan. Finally, I think there's about 3 or 4 out there at the little house. Yeah. But the biggest part of them rotted.
Sure.
They were cut and bad, but he said now he could go off and say this, and I don't care if you get him, Mr. Miles, and bring him to me and say, you know, I heard Margaret Key say you gave them a bushel of potatoes, and she said there was a lot of them rotted. I don't care. You can tell him.
I'm not going to tell him anything. I generally listen.
Well, I know what. Yeah, that's what I want you to do. I want you to listen to that, too.
Yeah.
Because Everett tell you that, he'd do you the same way.
He did.
Oh, no.
That's
Everett for you.
Yeah. He's a pretty good worker.
Yes, sir. He likes the job all right. Most places, a lot of the work's picked out of it.
Yeah. Ain't too much postcode digging for the manual.